are listening to Justice Radio on WMPG. This is the monthly Youth Justice segment with the Young People's Caucus and your hosts, Liv and Swathi. Today's the first half of a two-part series with Will Burdick about the power of authentic relationships to promote connection and healing for young people and the dreamy possibilities for how schools can use creative roles and resources to create space for these kinds of relationships. And with that, we'll get into our conversation with Will Burdick, a social worker and substance abuse counselor with Westbrook High School and Day One, a soccer coach, and one of my friends and classmates from graduate school. So we're just going to start off. Tell us about who you are and tell us about your job.
So my name is Will Burdick, and I'm currently a social worker and substance abuse counselor at Westbrook High School. And so I'm partially employed by Westbrook and then also partially employed by Day One, which is an organization, you know, that has outpatient, it has residential, it has medication management, it has family therapy, and it branches all across Maine.
Great. So what do you love about your job?
Well, I would say the thing I love most that I think we're going to get into at some point is the relationships I'm able to build, the relationships with the clients and the students at Westbrook and Day One, and the relationships I get to have with the staff members at Westbrook, and also kind of the unpredictability of every day. Like, I go in every day, I don't necessarily know who I'm going to meet with, I don't necessarily know what situations are going to happen, what meetings I'm going to have to be involved in. Mm-hmm. And so kind of being able to go in every day with, you know, having to think on my toes is something I really enjoy.
Great. So your job seems to be really unique and like something that not many people will know exists out there. So can you tell us a bit more about what is unique about your position and why it's important?
Yeah, so I did my second internship in grad school at Day One. And Day One, part of what they do is they have contracted positions in schools. And so in 2024, Day One in Westbrook got into communication because Westbrook felt a need for more support in their school system. Mm. They felt a need for someone specifically that had been working with a population that was affected by substance use, and it ended up being a perfect connection. So how my job works, and Day One also has employees in Edward Little, they have employees in Windham, we were in Biddeford, and I think from what I know, Day One is still trying to expand and branch out and be in even more around Southern Maine. I'm paid half by Day One, and I'm paid half by Westbrook High School, and it's a pretty sweet position because I can, you know, it's the most confidential position for any staff member at the high school, because I don't necessarily have to talk to the administration, I don't necessarily have to talk to their teachers, kind of about what we're talking about, and it's super low barrier. Of course, it's in a school, and we know, you know, it's easy for kids to access.
Yeah, and let's sort of run with that train of thought. So can you talk a bit about or expand on the idea of social workers in an environment like school where there's consistent access?
I think, like, I mean, I wasn't in high school too long ago, graduated in 2016, and we had no social workers when I was in school. And so I think it's a pretty new profession in school, but I think people are realizing and understanding just how important it is in schools. We just talk about how consistent schools are to children's lives. Like, you know, they're there five days a week, all day, practically. And so to have mental health support, to have de-escalation support, to have substance use support there in a place that they're already getting free transportation to, in a place they're getting free meals at, and again, like a super low barrier setting, I think is really important. And I think we're continuing to see just like how schools are even adding more social workers now because they feel more of a need to have more support for their students.
And I feel like I maybe talked about this analogy in a different interview, but what you were just saying reminded me of when I first started this job like 4 years ago. My supervisor talked about part of why she does this work is like she feels like the resource landscape in Maine is like a, what'd she say, like a buffet, except that you go to like one room to get a cup, and then you go all the way across the campus to get your water, and then you go all the way across campus to get a plate, and then you go all the way across, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, everything's so segmented. Mm-hmm. And so like, she was just trying to like paint a picture of like, there are resources available, but one of the hardest things is just piecing them together for an individual, and every individual has to do that. So it's cool to hear you talk about school as this place that like already is pieced together, right? Like, and we could just add a few more puzzle pieces to that. It resonates.
And also at Westbrook, we have Greater Portland Health. We have a dental clinic.
Yeah, that's so cool.
You know, kids are able to get medication at our school. We're able to connect them. We have a McKinney-Vento specialist who help, you know, kids who might be homeless. Of course, we have alternative. We have different forms of education. We have adult ed. Westbrook has, you know, Voc. So there's so many opportunities for kids. And like we said, the fact that it's all in one place is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that we were talking about looking for like the through line of like previous conversations that we've had before. And we've talked about wraparound services for youth before. And it's really interesting just by having social workers like in this setting that you're able to access all of those basic needs.
It's one thing I forgot to add was it's part of my job. And I mentioned this to you guys before, but I can go outreach. So we can do home visits. So if kids are having a hard time getting to school, if kids or their families aren't responding and they haven't been to school for a week, I can go with a principal, I can go with our school resource officer, I can go with another social worker, and we can go visit them, and we can meet them in the community. I can meet them at a Dunkin' Donuts. I can have a conversation with them. If they're suspended, we can still meet via Zoom or online or on the phone, or we can text. So in my profession, and I think in the school in general, like, we're just really trying to make it as low barrier as possible and meet kids, you know, wherever they're at the time. Yeah.
Amazing. I want to sort of bring us like into like the meat of the conversation here. So the last time that we got to hang out, you were talking about your connections with youth through athletics and music and life. And you said that once you make a relationship, that's when the work happens. So I wanted to ask you, why are relationships so important to the work?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, and I haven't been in the field for very long, to be honest with you, but, you know, within the last 5 years, from what I have experienced and from relationships that I've formed, the therapeutic techniques or, you know, the theories that we learn in school, like those aren't going to apply if the kid doesn't trust you, if the kid doesn't feel safe around you, if they don't feel safe in your space. And so just doing whatever you can to make them feel comfortable, whether it's drawing with them, whether it's going outside on a walk with them, whether it's playing a different sport with them, listening to music, whatever you can do to kind of find that common denominator with, you know, the clients you have. I usually spend like the first, be honest, like first handful at least of sessions, not necessarily worried about like we're doing work about, you know, we're doing work with your anxiety, we're doing work with your depression or your family. We're doing work to make sure that you feel comfortable with me, and to make sure that you learn about me as much as I learn about you. And so at the, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th session, you know, we really know each other. And we can really like start to dive in and do the work. But before that, I consider my job and the most important part of it is completely in building relationships. And that's kind of at the high school. I've only been there for, you know, not even a year yet. And I'm still building relationships. I'm still learning the names of different faculty there, right? I'm still students don't even, you know, not all of them know exactly who I am. So whatever I can do at the school to just interact with kids in the hallway, in the lunchroom, again, find different, you know, common denominators is still what I'm doing. And I'm doing that because I think it's the most important aspect of the job that I have.
I appreciate what you said about like you getting to know a young person and also them getting to know you and like that back and forth. Cause I feel like we can be like in my, I know we talked about this. I used to teach and in middle school and maybe even extra in middle school, we're like taught to be so boundary. Like, you shouldn't tell kids about your, like, my kids would ask me if I had a partner all the time. And for a while, I was like, I can't tell, you know, I can't answer that question. Like, you shouldn't, there's all these things about what you should, like, shouldn't tell the young people you work with. Like, there's sort of, and teachers probably still have some boundaries around that, like, more than your role does, because you get the flexibility of not just being a Westbrook employee. But anyway, that just resonates. Like, it's a two-way, and young people can feel it, right? When you're, like, when you're in it in, like, a two-way street kind of way, rather than just, like, you feel like you're there to help them, but, like, stay kind of closed off yourself and like modeling vulnerability in that way is huge and like really hard for people.
And I would say it's also kind of the benefit of having my own office and being one-on-one. Like, I allow kids to swear. when they're around me, and I allow kids to like be themselves when they're around me. And at the same time, like I recently, a kid came in and he was upset because he went through a breakup, and I shared my experience about also going through my first breakup in high school and how like how I felt during that and how it's normal to feel sad and it's normal to feel angry or jealous or upset in, you know, in those certain situations, and was also like, you know, completely, you know, vulnerable back to them. And I think that they, you know, realize that I'm being truthful and open, and I think they appreciate that. And again, that just helps with the relationship.
Yeah. Well, the one other thing I was thinking about, we also do some work with a group up in Rockland, and they've been holding these listening sessions with young people in the community on different topics. And I think substance abuse is a big thing that they're talking about, not, I mean, across Maine, but in the Rockland community. And so one of their like listening sessions, they were asking young people about like what things they, I don't know, just like needs and hopes. Anyway, one of the biggest themes that came across was like all of the young people in that space were like, we just need more adults in our lives. Like that's it. Like that's the baseline need, is just like more adults who are like ready to like walk alongside us, be honest with us. I don't know. It just like, it's hearing that like simplifies things for me. Like it can be as, it's hard to get to the place that you're at. Like, I'm sure that you've done a lot of work to like be able to be vulnerable with young people, but it's also kind of, it's like hard and simple, you know, like the answer is relationships in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was going to say, one of the things that we talk so much about with the students, and I mentioned to them, like, who are the trusted adults in the building that you have? Like who, which adults do you go to? Which adults do you trust? And if you don't have any, then like we as a school need to make sure that you feel comfortable at least one or two adults in the building that you can go to. And so, you know, obviously one of my roles is trying to be one of those trusted adults for as many kids as I can. But in the building, it's one of those questions. If you don't have any trusted adults in the building, then of course we don't, you know, we expect you, you're going to bottle things up.
Yeah.
You might not have as good of an experience.
You might come to school.
Exactly. You might not come to school at all.
Yeah.
Exactly. Realizing and figuring out kind of where kids' connections are in the school is super helpful and important for us. So we can kind of prioritize who might not have a trusted adult, and how can we kind of figure that out and, you know, allow or build, have those kids build relationships with teachers or administration or social workers.
And like, what are like those barriers to trust? Like, I think a lot about like what is professionalism in like the field of working with young people. And like, I think a lot about like what we've been told about what you're supposed to wear, and if it's like a suit and tie, and if you're supposed to be like straightforward and stern, like a young person isn't going to approach you if you don't have like something in you, like either an energy or something that like they can like grasp onto and like feel like they can connect with. I often like really go for like the goofier way of like interacting. I let like my messiness be seen. And also like I've realized I don't need to wear loafers and like a button up in order for like it works better if I wear a t-shirt.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Something that I have done like in the last couple of years, and I've realized I have an obsession might be the right word with sneakers. And I really like sneakers, and I've been able to build relationships with youth because I also have a passion for sneakers. And so in school, I call it, it might be kind of a quirky name, I call it Fresh Cake Friday. And so like I wear a different pair of sneakers, or at least I try to school, and there'll be a couple kids there who are like, hey, like nice shoes, dude. Or like, oh, you did wear another pair today. Or like, you know, they'll comment on my shoes and I can comment back on theirs, and we can kind of share our interest for those. So like that, just that kind of example is like, that's kind of the person that I want to be. Westbrook is pretty great where they're kind of, we can wear jeans, we can wear t-shirts, you know, I wear a flannel, like, you know, we can kind of be ourselves. And, you know, that is kind of, I guess, another even alley to create relationships. If you wear a shirt with a band on it, you can interact with a kid because they might enjoy the same band. Same thing, you know, with the sneaker obsession that I have.
Yeah, it's like an entry point into conversation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're listening to Justice Radio with Liv and Swathi and our guest, Will Burdick. Now back to the conversation.
And then the other thing I thought about when you mentioned that is the term social worker. And I realized the clients that I've had for sure have their opinions about social workers. Some kids have had no interaction with social workers in their life. Some kids have had interactions with a million social workers in their life. Mm-hmm. And so one question I ask a lot of kids the first time meeting them or the first time at least they're in my office is like, what do you think I do here? Like, mm-hmm. what do you think my role is? Unfortunately, a couple of times they've been like, you're here to get us in trouble. Like, you're here to give us consequences, or like, you're here as like to give punishments. And other times they're like, you're here to fix my problems. But it's cool to see like their opinions on who I am, because of course this is a time where they've never met me. Like, we might have had an interaction in the hallway, or might have been emailing or on the phone, but they have all these opinions about me because of the title that I have. And so I try and do my best, and when I answer them and just explain kind of my role and what I do and my priority, again, building relationships with them, and try and, I guess, eliminate the bias or like stigma they have around the term social worker, because it's definitely a real thing. And I can tell when I'm walking down the hallway, sometimes kids look at me a certain way, like, I got to get out of his way because he's here to punish me. Or if I could, yeah, if I try and interact with them, they're like, oh, I might not want to talk with him because, you know, he only works with the quote unquote troubled kids, or he only works mm-hmm. with kids that, you know, need this or need that. Again, part of what I'm doing still and probably what I'm going to be doing till my career is over is like try to change that stigma mm-hmm. and just kind of let people know why I'm there.
And I think that that's also like a bigger conversation among social workers too.
Yeah.
Is like, how are we viewing... Because in school, like, we really focus on, like, relationships and, like, the ethical code. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all this stuff with, like, the NASW. But there's controversy in, like, the social work world. And sure. even, like, mandatory reporting is, yeah. like, something that these days is, like, really controversial.
Sure.
So, like, that's also, like, a larger conversation, like, of, like, as social workers, finding, like, the balance of, like, the role.
Yeah.
In, like, what institutionally, like, mm-hmm. we're mm-hmm. supposed to do, but, like, what the people we're working with really need.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think a social worker in school should look, act, and be different than a social worker who's involved with the state. Mm-hmm. Like, they should, it's the same title, but they're completely different roles, and they have completely different responsibilities. Like, a social worker in a school wants to create as many relationships and get as close to as many kids as they can, while there might be other social workers around who have different responsibilities in their role. The only thing, as everyone in this role has, if you are unsafe yourself, if you create anybody else and make anybody else unsafe, or somebody's making you unsafe, that's when obviously something has to get reported out to somebody. But other than that, in terms of my role, you know, the confidentiality stays in the room. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. So I want to bring us back to talking about relationships. Let's talk about what administrators can do to help teachers build better relationships. Yeah. Or what teachers can do to build better relationships, wherever you want to start.
Yeah, we'll start at the teachers, and then we can go higher.
Okay.
From the teacher role, the teacher perspective, I just want to acknowledge one that, you know, they're interacting with essentially, you know, 60, 70, 80 students a day. It's hard. And I understand connecting with people on an individual level for a teacher is going to be more difficult than a role like mine or... you know, a different role at the school, like a school counselor, just because you have classes of 20 or 25, you know, sometimes. But I do think simply connecting, saying hi to kids, saying, how's your day, calling them by their first name, certain things like that, is really, if you do it every day, if you do it a couple times a week, your relationship is going to continue to grow and grow. I have a relationship with one of the maintenance workers because I go to the gym in the morning and he's the only other person there. At the beginning of the year, we just wave to each other, and now we're at a place where we have a full-blown conversation, and I know about his family, and I know about his life, and I know about how he's feeling that day if he's having a rough day, and I can kind of tell him about my role. So, like, we started waving to each other, and we just acknowledged each other every day. And so I think that if you have 25 kids in your class, standing at your door and saying hi to every kid as they come in, calling them by their first name, checking up on them, saying how they're doing, I think that would go a super long way. From an administrative role, we have Westbrook is interesting because we have three principals. We have three co-principals. They're all awesome. And they are all super student driven and student focused. Mm-hmm. And one thing we're doing this year that we talked about is we are implementing restorative circles, restorative practice into the high school. So it was a year long training. And now next year, teachers will be able to implement these circles in class really whenever they want to. If a student might have an issue with a teacher, if a teacher might have an issue with the class, they can implement those circles. An administrator can come in and help run them or guide them. But our administrators do a great job. Like I said, they go out and do home visits. They meet kids where they're at. They interact with kids in the hallway all the time. Like, you always see them around. They always have a smile on their face. They're always being advocates for the students and for the school. And they're also very open and honest. Like, they'll talk about their lives with the students. And they have great relationships with the faculty. So just like watching the professional relationship between administrators, which again, they have this role of like, you're a school principal, but they're joking around with the students and the faculty in the hallways, I think it's pretty cool for kids to see. And they're great leaders, and they lead by example. And I think the kids love them.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Yeah, I feel like the one thing that stood out to me is like the gift of having like a full school year to build relationships with people, yeah. Right? Like that's a long time, a full school year, and every day in a full school. Like, I miss that a lot in the context that we now work with young people in, where we see them like mm-hmm. weekly, if that. And it just like, it shifts the like burden on every single interaction, right? Yeah. So you're like, I remember feeling that, like, I'm gonna see you tomorrow. Like mm-hmm. maybe I didn't say the perfect thing today, but I'm gonna see you tomorrow, or I'm gonna make sure you come to school the next day. So there's such a gift in that. And I think that's what young people are asking for a lot of times, is like that consistency, like those relationships that like stay and where people keep showing up for them. Mm-hmm. And schools have like this automatic way of providing that through teachers, but obviously they have like so many roles, like mm-hmm. be that person for a young person and also like teach them science or whatever and like get passing test scores. So it just makes me think about like how your position to me sounds unique. Like, I hadn't heard about that kind of like split position much. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done a ton of work with schools in Maine, but from like talking to people who have or have tried, I've heard it being hard to establish partnerships with schools or to sort of like as a community org to like get into a school building and really, mm-hmm. I'm just curious how you see that. This was like a wind up conversation, but just like, I guess I'm just thinking about like, there is a lot placed on the role of a teacher or any single person in the school building, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much that you want to be able to do and be for a young person. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me keep feeling like, well, the obvious answer is just more, mm-hmm. more people in the schools, right? Like more types of people. Mm-hmm. But it seems like there's some barrier to that. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah.
Who else needs to be there?
I agree. Let's get everybody in school. Like when I was at Deering, we had a health center there, which was awesome. And that was totally new to me. I was like, wow, school has a health center. This is awesome. There are still schools I know that might only have like part-time social workers in them. Mm-hmm. Like, they might not have a full-time social worker who's able to work for them. And so these students like might not be able to access these low barrier resources. And at the same time, I think, unfortunately, when we talk about funding, think about like, where is the school going to get the money for all these resources and programs that are going to come into the school? And unfortunately, you know, schools are pretty pressed in terms of their budgets.
Yeah.
But if there was a way for us to get a health center, for us to get a dental clinic, for us to get psychiatry, social work, access to McKinney-Vento, homeless, case management, you know, all that sort of, if schools were able to access that, kids wouldn't need to go anywhere else, right? Yeah. Like, and right now, if kids are sent to places outside of schools, a lot of the time there's wait lists.
Yeah.
And the wait lists aren't just like, we'll see you next week. They're like, we'll see you in 4 months.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that, like I said, since 2016, since I was in high school, we've come a long way, because right now, Westbrook High School has 3 social workers, another part-time social worker, another social worker who works just with immigrant and refugee students, and potentially those of all 5 positions have been new in the last 10 years. And so who knows, 10 years from now, all these resources we're talking about, mm-hmm. they could be in schools, you know, but I just like to think that we're going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Westbrook, we see you. Yeah. You're doing the work.
Yeah, I mean, that just like really makes me think of bills like LD 193, which is to increase the funding for unhoused youth in Maine schools. And we were talking with our Justice Network one time about like what are like some dreamy ways that this could like show up in schools? And there was just such like a rich conversation about like school is such a massive resource. Like it could serve to so many purposes. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at bills like that, where it's just like, I think like Westbrook speaks so well to a bill like that, because like they're doing the thing. And then you see bills like LD-165, which is an act to allow school boards to expel or suspend students regardless of grade level. Like there's a stark contrast in the kind of bills that are showing up in our policies. Mm-hmm. And it's either like putting in more resources or putting in regulations and rules. So there's just, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot to be said there, but
yeah.
Does that?
I think it's interesting because I feel like the root causes of both of those are what we're all talking about, which is like, we need more blah, blah, blah. You know, like we need more social workers or we need more resources. And so like some of the people who are in support of like the ability to expel or suspend students under grade 5 are saying that like our school just doesn't have the resources to support this kid, this baby in some cases. Mm-hmm. So it's like a resource question. But then the like in that case, people are like, so the answer is like, let's remove the student. Mm-hmm. And then like in the homeless student, like that bill, the answer is like, let's bring in more resources. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting like divergence. But I feel like we can agree on like some of the issues, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think a couple of things that I'm seeing that are going well is one, like, so in terms of my role, I can meet with students over the summer. So like students can go for those couple weeks over the summer and still be connected to somebody, still be connected to a professional, still be connected to the school, come back. And that relationship's going to be even stronger when they come back into school. We are in talks with the middle school in terms of their eighth graders, like how can we support their step up process? Can I get in touch with eighth graders and do counseling and meet with eighth graders one-on-one over the summer to help with their transition to high school? Like things like that. I feel like just those smaller interventions are super, super important. And I think those are like just coming about right now. Like that, those kind of things didn't happen before, but I totally agree where there's still so much more we can do. And there's also only so much we can do from the hours of 7 to 3, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's one of those things where there are times where we still do have to give kids the crisis hotline and we still have to connect them with outside resources because we're not available 24/7 at the end of the day. But from the hours of 7 to 3, from my experience, I mean, at least in Westbrook High School, like I know that they're going to do whatever they can to meet the kids where they're at and, you know, support them however they can.
Westbrook sounds really cool. I feel like I now have a new dream job and I think it's yours, Will. Sorry, Swathi.
It's all right. I have some other plans.
Thank you for listening to Justice Radio. We invite you to continue these kinds of conversations with us through our Instagram, @YPCMaine. We're an amazing group of youth leaders, post about policy, culture, and opportunities in change-making spaces. Please feel free to DM us with suggestions for what you'd like to hear on this podcast, or if you would like to join us for a conversation. We invite you to tune in next month to hear part 2 of our conversation with Will. And finally, a big thank you to Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series.